Hey, good morning, everybody. It is good to be back with you again this week. Wow, yeah. Is it good to be back here again this week, hopefully, from each of you? There you go. See, we'll stop there. All right, you guys were at least the ones, or most of you, if you were here last week, you were at least the ones that came back. I encouraged you last week by giving out candy that you might want to sit in the front. The same people sat in front. And look, I brought boring stuff this week. All right, hopefully we get to that a little bit later, but who in the world wants that sort of boring product anyway? We do have a hold tight, maybe a little bit later. We'll get to that. You like that stuff, huh? Fingers crossed right there. All right, I like it. Be happy you're in the front then, even though you're wearing a Cowboys jersey. We'll try not to hold that against you. All right? But that's okay. It's all right. It is good to be back with you, and as we look at this idea, we're going to talk again this week about the idea of looking for a breakthrough. And as I'm looking for this idea of a breakthrough, I'm picking on the Cowboys fan here, and I'm looking at Steelers fans here, and realize that there's a good reason that there's a break here. I grew up in the 70s. Those two things did not go together well, right? There you go. One of them's just relegated to meaningless, pretty much, and we like that. If you wear a tire like this. But anyway, hey, happy Super Bowl Sunday. If you are one of the ones that are a fan of the Super Bowl, plan to watch it tonight, or just planning to watch some of the commercials, whatever it is, or even if you are one of the ones that is not happy with the NFL and boycotting them, we are happy that you are here this morning, and we are not going to be talking about the Super Bowl all morning, just for 35 minutes, because that's what I like. I like sports. I can talk sports all day. It's a head full of useless information when it comes to that. Because when we're looking to break through for something, all right, there are things that we want to break through from, and we want to break free from bad teams and root for good teams, okay? There we go. No, that has nothing to do with this morning's message. It has nothing to do with breaking through. But I told you last week that with this being Super Bowl Sunday, I wanted to tell a story about the Super Bowl in Bridgewater with me. And fortunately, my mind was able to remember that throughout this week. But it was about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, that I was asked to go and speak down at Bridgewater down in Halstead. And I believe this campus had just started, and I think it was Pastor Bob at the time had reached out to me and said, "Hey, Joel, would you be able to come speak at Bridgewater Halstead on this week?" It was Super Bowl Sunday that week, that year. And I said, certainly, I'd be happy to go and do that. And at that time, Bridgewater Conklin, we met once. We had one service in the morning, and I think it was a 9:30 service. Don't quote me on any of my times here. Just hold true to the time frames. Those are accurate. The times might be off by half an hour. I'm not sure what the starting times were. But so I'm asked to go down there and speak, and I'm there like, okay, that sounds great. So I get the message, and I'm all prepared to go down there for that Sunday morning, and I show up at about, let's say, 8:45, and I felt a little annoyed because I felt like I was a little late. I wanted to be there probably an hour or maybe even a little bit more before the service started. And as I park, I talk to one of the individuals that I know down there, walk across, and I talk to a handful of the people in the back of what was then the Legion where they met. And was speaking with them, and as I'm going along, it's about quarter, well, as time goes on, it's about 10 of 9 now, and time is going by, and I finally figure I better go talk to the people at front of house, the people about mic, make sure that we know what's happening with the PowerPoint, the presentation, that sort of thing, everything like that. And as I go up and I start talking to them, as I'm just interacting with them a little bit about the message, I suddenly realize that there's a countdown on the screen. And that countdown is less than 5 minutes, to which I look at them, and I'm there like, are we just doing a practice run, or are we doing, no, church starts, we start in 5 minutes. At which point, suddenly you get that little, I don't know about you, if you've ever worked on a presentation, and you're there like, I want to be there plenty early, I want to be prepared, it's my first time speaking here, anything like that, but all of a sudden you have that little bit of, you start at 9. All right, so I scratched my head. That's all right. That's not a bad thing. Let me text my wife real quick because she was thinking of coming down to the service. And if she comes down to the service, she will catch the best part of my message, the end. You know, that part where I walk off and sit down, that part. Not that fine part that you, right? But anyway, so I'm like, okay. So I look up there, and oh, you guys start at 9. Yeah, okay. That's all right. Not a problem at all. I'm there like, it's Super Bowl Sunday, we'll be done even earlier, I can go home and I'll start prepping up. Yeah, and then the second service starts at 10:30, at which point I look at them and I'm there like, second service. Oh, all right. Which, as you know, is not a huge problem because the second service is the same as the first service, right? So it's not a huge problem. But my mind, all right, my mind was not clear on what was happening. What was the point? I was not thinking, all right? My thinking was different than what had happened. In this world, now that, just so you know, that's just a little bit of fun, a little bit of silliness. Maybe something like that has happened to you where you're like, oh, I wasn't aware of that. You know, you show up at work and your boss suddenly calls on you in the meeting and says, hey, do you have information on this? Or for those of you that are students, that you show up and you don't do your homework and you don't prep for the surprise quiz. Why do you not prep for the surprise quiz? Because it's a surprise. And they kind of pop that on you suddenly. You're suddenly surprised and your thinking suddenly changes. And in that moment right there, my thinking, there was nothing that upset me, nothing. I just thought it was kind of funny. I'm like, ooh, maybe I should have gone online. They have this thing called the internet that I could have looked on the internet and seen the time of their services. I could have seen that they had two services. But you know, that internet thing, that's I think it's just a passing fad. It may not last long, so I wasn't really interested in looking at that, right? I'm joking. I think it's around for a while, okay? I don't know about you, but I think that's going to be here for a little bit of time. But anyway, our minds, all right? We need to prepare our minds in the way that we think. And that's what we are going to be looking at this morning as we talk about breakthrough. We are going to be talking about the idea of our thinking. Let's talk about Peter for a minute because we are going to be looking at Peter again this week. And as we look from what's going to be called 1 Peter, we are going to be looking at this idea. And I want to give you a thought as we think about Peter again, as you partook of the Lord's Supper or communion, as we call it this morning. Pastor Jeff mentioned this a little bit earlier. One of the things about communion, when Jesus gathered his disciples together for what we call the Last Supper on that evening. It's the evening that he is going to be turned over, that he is going to be arrested, all right? And then the following 24 hours are going to fly by. There's going to be a mock trial. He's going to be convicted. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be buried. That's all coming up in the next 24 to 48 hours of this Last Supper that they have. And at this Last Supper, Jesus gets his disciples together. And as he's pulling out the bread and the cup, and Pastor Jeff mentioned this, right? As he pulls those out, those things had a very specific, all right, very specific meaning. And the meaning did not have to do with Jesus. The meaning had to do with the nation of Israel coming out of captivity of Egypt 1,000 years before, roughly 1,200 years prior to this time that Christ is on earth right now. And as Jews, they had celebrated this all of their lives, all right? This is what it was. Think about it this way for us today. I'm going to have a Christmas party this December, all right? So I'm getting prepared for it early. We're 11 months early. You guys can all get my present around. Get it ready now, okay? Nobody's getting me Christmas presents, or the rest of you just think that's normal. So you were good. You're good getting me Christmas presents. I like that. But anyway, and suddenly you show up at my Christmas party, and I say, hey, thank you for being here to celebrate my birth. You guys are all going to look at me and say, no, we're here to celebrate Jesus' birth. I'm like, no, we're all here. This you're going to do, this celebration of Christmas, you're going to do in remembrance of me. All right, you guys are all going to scratch your heads and you're going to leave the party and say, we're never going to that party again. Even if he had good food, that guy's weird, we're not going back there. Jesus, at the night of the Last Supper, is telling his disciples, when he takes that bread, this body is broken, all right? Take it and eat it in remembrance of me. The disciples were aware that they ate lamb that evening, all right? They prepared that in a special way, and they would eat that. And that was what was the remembrance. That was to remember back as to what had taken place 1,200 years earlier. Then he takes the cup, and he says, this is my blood, which is given for you, all right? He's saying that this is a reminder, that this is an example that you need to remember. And they're scratching their heads, and they're saying, no, that's not you. That's from 1,200 years ago, from the sheep that were killed, all right, and their blood was painted on the posts over the doors as we left the nation of Egypt. If you're not familiar with the story, I would encourage you this week, go back, read Exodus chapter 12, all right, 11, 12, 13. of the book of Exodus, and that'll give you the reference point as to what we're talking about there. But the celebration of Passover, that Passover dinner, was something from so much earlier, that had taken place so much earlier in their lives. And the disciples had grown up celebrating that. So when Jesus says this, I don't know what you're doing if you're a disciple there, but you're probably scratching your head and saying, that's not the normal order as to how it takes place. They're probably pulling out their Old Testament scrolls and they're going to tell them, no, Jesus, this is what this is here for, right? But Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. There needed to be a breakthrough in their lives, in their thinking. We talked last week that the breakthrough was going to come. Why is the breakthrough going to come? Because Jesus is going to restore Peter, and all of his disciples are going to see a resurrected Savior. And as a result of that, all right, as a result of that breakthrough that they saw, Peter told us that we are chosen individuals, and the disciples are going to, on the other side of this, realize that they were chosen individuals. On the other side of this, the disciples were going to realize that heaven was their home, that this earth wasn't their home. And on the other side of this, they were going to realize that God was not finished with them yet. But on this side of that, they were still anticipating a political kingdom would be established and Jesus would be the ruler over it. They were looking forward to their nation being restored to a powerful nation in the countries and in the Roman Empire being overthrown. Their thinking need to be changed. So as we look this morning at this story again, I want to remind you that as we look at the book 1 Peter, and as we continue on with this study, as we continue looking in this idea of breakthrough, I want you to know Peter is not writing something because, well, you know what, I'm an intellectual and I thought I needed to write something for people. Peter is writing something because he had lived through it, he had observed it, and he was aware of it. And our first verse that I want to look at again this morning is one that we looked at again last week, and it's 1 Peter 5:12. And in 1 Peter 5:12, Peter again gives us what it is that he has written about. I have written to you briefly, encouraging you, all right, and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. And I want to remind you, as we talked about last week, that it is that God has chosen you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, our lives are changed because we are chosen by God. And in being chosen by God, we have a heavenly home. All right, we have someplace else that is our home. And Peter is encouraging us in writing this, encouraging us to stand fast in this grace, to stand fast in testifying to that this is the grace of God. Stand fast in it. He is encouraging the individuals here that he is writing to, and they are believers that were scattered, all right, throughout the Roman Empire at that time, partially because of persecution that had taken place, partially because as some of those that were persecuted scattered into new areas, they proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, partially because Peter and Paul and other disciples had been going all around the world proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it had changed the lives of individuals. So as we look this morning, and we are going to go to 1 Peter, and I would encourage you, as we look at 1 Peter, we are going to be thinking that we need to change how we think. And 1 Peter is going to give us, all right, Peter right here, he is going to give us these ideas. So not only are we to be reminded that we have this idea where we were chosen, heaven is our home, all right, and God is not done with us yet, we are going to look to change the way we think. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, these are the words that he gives us right here. He says to us, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. He goes on to say this right here in the very next verse as he continues on in verse 14. He says, as obedient children, do not conform, all right? As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, all right? So I'm going to just ask, could we back up to the previous slide as well? Thank you so much for doing that for me. All right. Actually, go to the 1 Peter 1:13. I'm sorry. Thank you. That one right there. Therefore, it's always best when you confuse the people that are helping you back behind the scenes, right? It's always good to do that. Thank you so much to them for bearing with me when I mess up. but therefore with minds that are alert and fully sober. All right? So Peter is talking to us, and in this passage of Scripture, he is going to give us a couple of things that he wants us to be aware of. Not only are we to think, all right? We are to change the way we think. We're to be aware of the way that we think. Why? Because how we think is going to control what is going on. And he's telling us right here how important it is that with minds that are alert and fully sober. How many of you at times you're not so alert, right? Maybe it's late at night and I'm not so alert. Or maybe I'm driving along and it's been a long drive and a long day and suddenly I'm not so alert and I hit autopilot on my car. We can understand not being alert. And the next word that Peter uses is be fully sober. And why is he telling us to be fully sober? Because he is making a comparison here of something else that we are well aware of. And the opposite of that is going to be, don't be intoxicated. Now, for some of us in here, we're there like, well, I don't drink, therefore I don't get intoxicated. So I'm glad you're speaking this one because there's a handful of people in here that do need that. For others of you, right? They're like, yes, we are aware of individuals that are intoxicated. And whew, I know this, when that person is intoxicated, I do not want to be around them. As a matter of fact, there are some that I might want to be around because they're rather funny. Ha! I get a good laugh out of that one over there. But that one, he's really grumpy and stay away from that. And Peter's warning us. He's giving the example here to these believers, telling them, be alert and be sober with our minds. And as he is making that statement, I want to go on a little bit more about this sober idea, because some of us sometimes can get caught in the idea that we read through that and we think alcohol or some sort of drug that controls your mind only. And that's not the only thing that Peter's referencing here. He's talking about controlling our mind and what controls our mind. And we want to be careful with what we are putting into our minds. You see, there are thoughts that can control our mind. There are ideas that can become in our mind, and they can just become so ingrained in there that they can control our thoughts. Think about some of the things that you listen to. Some of the music that we listen to, all right? We think that, well, no, my mind, I can listen to whatever I want. And yet we can listen to some of the crudest stuff through music and say, no, it doesn't affect me, right? We need to be cautious with what we put in there. Why? Because it can control, it can change our mind. It can change the way that we think about individuals. Think about some of the music that uses terms to describe women that are very derogatory today, right? There are songs out there that are full of calling women names that are far too inappropriate. And yet we will pump that into our ears, we will hear that, and we need to change that. Why? Because it changes the way we think about women. We need to be careful. Ladies, sometimes we think complaining about men, that's just normal. That's just fun, right? Let me just complain about men. Oh, he always does this. They always do that. They're always like that. And what does it do? It does that very idea. It changes our mind. It changes our thinking. We become intoxicated in our thoughts thinking that men are always, right? We need to be cautious with what we are pumping in our minds because it can make us think. Let's go with something different. Money. How many of you know people that all they think is money, 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 right? It's their first thought in the morning, it's their last thought at night, and everything is too expensive to ever buy unless it's something that they're buying for them. And the thought of even giving away something, my pockets are far too deep and my hands are far too short to get down there, correct? I just can't do it. Money, it can control your mind. If that's not you, right? If that's not you, maybe sports, as I was mentioning earlier, right? I mean, all New York Giant fans are reprobates, right? It's just, I'm now in trouble, right? There you go. I picked on the Mets last week. We'll pick on the Giants this week. I'm in New York. I might as well be in, cause trouble all the time, right? Let me go one further that'll take you even. Maybe I'll back up a little bit further. As I mentioned this one, I'll stand back here. But how about one more that can control, a thought that can control our minds? All those liberals. Oh, they drive me nuts, right? All those stinking conservatives. I'm telling you, they're the, right? How many of us can let those thoughts control our mind? They change the way we think. They change the way that we exist. As soon as you mention those terms, right? Liberals, conservatives, Democrat, Republican, suddenly we're there like, oh, I can't stand any of them, and I'm getting rid of all of them on my Facebook or whatever it is account that I have because I don't like any of them. They're all bad, right? And yet you know, as well as I know, right in your neighborhood where you live, there are good people who vote both ways, think both ways. But yet our mind can become intoxicated so that we are not fully sober in the way that we think. And it's important because in a little bit he's going to tell us this thinking is important because it's going to matter in how we live. All right? So as we look at this passage, as we understand this idea that we need to be sober-minded, it's not just that I need to avoid ever getting drunk. I never get drunk, therefore I'm good. See, I'm fine. I'm never drunk. That's not what he's referencing. It's partially what it's referencing, but there's so much more that he's referencing. Do not let other stuff control your mind. All right? And that's one that gets across, and it gets the point across. But we need to be cautious. Do not let every idea, every thought control our minds. As we continue on, all right, that we need to change the way we think. And as we jump forward into the next verses here, as we jump forward over to 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. He continues on in verse 15 and says this, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. We are to be holy in all we do. The next passage here is going to say, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. So see, not only does Peter tell us that the first thing that we need to do is change the way we think, we need to be cautious of the way we think. He's now telling us it's important to be careful with the way that we think because how you think determines how you will live, all right? How we think determines how we live. Guess what? If I have hatred build up in my heart because all those, whatever we want to call them, are evil, bad, stupid, dumb, terrible, whatever the case may be, that changes the way I think. And guess what? Suddenly the love of God can't flow through my life for those people. Rather, just my own frustration, rather my own intoxication of who they are is what flows through to them. Peter is telling us, watch how you think, because how you think controls how you live, and how you live will reflect whether Jesus Christ lives in you. Be holy as I am holy. Now, when we talk about this idea of be holy as I am holy, that's awful hard, right? Because I'm not God. You're not God, and you're there like, when we think of holiness, we got to be as holy, as good as we can be, right? In the passage here, I think Peter's is alluding to a little bit more, actually. Because Peter is talking about them, that they are scattered across. They're scattered throughout the land. And he's telling them that they are living lives that are different, all right? And the idea of holy, when we are to be holy, is we are to be separate. We are to be set apart, all right? You aren't going to live a perfect life. I am not going to live a perfect life. However, you and I both can start living a life that is set apart, a life that doesn't appear, a life that doesn't look like the world that is around us, all right? A life that doesn't just reflect everything. And we need to be cautious with this. Why? Because in some aspects, we can suddenly become all about the legalism, all about doing everything right. And that's not the right way, right? But then we can just become all inclusive of everything, and that's not right either. But Peter tells us, you need to live a life that is following God. Be holy as I am holy. That is what God calls us to do and calls us to be. So he calls us to be separate, to separate ourselves. So how do we do it? It's difficult in this world, right? It's difficult with our thinking. I told you I brought a different snack this week. Last week I felt bad because I brought all the bad things, right? I brought all bad food. So this week I thought I better bring some healthy stuff. So I brought like an apple, I brought a banana, you know, I brought an orange or a clementine as well. And when you have these sort of products, we all get the idea as to what these are, right? Anybody here curious what this is? Yeah, there you go. We knew that was an apple. It wasn't. You weren't saying, I'm not sure. I'll bet he dressed that up differently and made it different. Anybody? Banana, right? Yeah, there, a banana. That's a delicious product right there. And this right here is a form of an orange, right? That's my clementine, all ready to go. And when I'm holding all three of these, you're well aware of what they are. You're not sitting there saying, I wonder which one's which. You're prepared for that. As a matter of fact, if you're hungry right now, you might even want one of these, right? Some of you health people, you're like, I like one of these. I'm not sharing them with you. I don't like you. All right, so you don't get one. There you go. No, that's not it. That's not it. But I wanted to point. See, they look all right. And as a matter of fact, this one right here, this is a Honeycrisp. How many of you like Honeycrisp apples? Anyone here? You like Honeycrisp apples? Shoot. Can you believe that? Oh, nuts. How many of you still want this one? Oh, my. I must have had that butterfinger. Anybody still want that one? Who's excited about it? Who's excited? Who wants that one? You still want it? Oh, here we go. Actually, Jay's an Eagles fan, so I have confidence he can catch that. Look at that. See that? There you go. See that? How many of you are excited to eat that right now? How many of you are thinking, boy, that one's really going to taste good? There you go. It's like, yeah, it's squeezy, right? Right there. No good. It still looks pretty good on the outside, doesn't it? Looks pretty good. See, there you go. Banana. Did you want a banana? What did you want? Oh, you wanted the orange, huh? All right, does anybody want a banana? Here, see how nice that orange is? Do you want this orange? Do you want that one? Does this one look better? How come this one looks better? That one looks a little old, beat up, doesn't it? Yeah. You see, when we keep these things around for a while, suddenly they're not looking so good, all right? And when they're not kept fresh, suddenly when they're not being kept fresh, it's not so tasty anymore. It's not something anybody likes. Anybody here want a banana? You'll take a banana? Yeah? All right. Here you go. Here's your banana. There. What? No, no. You said banana. That's a banana, right? You're not so interested in that one. Why not? That was a rotten banana, wasn't it? That's a rotten trick to play, isn't it? Huh? Right there. Can I tell you about these bananas? What's funny is we had some rotten bananas at home, and I took them out of the freezer last night because my wife had them in the freezer. And I took them out thinking, oh, that'll be perfect for tomorrow. And one of the ones that I took out last night, they were so mushy, you couldn't even pick them up. What in the world happened? Yes, there we go. They were too bad for even that. What in the world happened? The freshness of the fruit runs out. If we are not careful with our minds, you see, we think, Oh, I was saved. I remember as a child putting my faith and trust in Christ. Oh, you know what? Sunday I went to church and that transformed me. And suddenly we think that we're changed, all right, as a result of the way that we live our lives. But I want you to look, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. It's going to be right up here on the screen as well. But I'm going to read the very first verse as well because we have Romans 12:2 up here. But I want you to, I'm going to read the first one as well with it, and then we'll go on to this one as well. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, all right? Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And I want you to catch that first part. It's holy, all right? In Romans, Paul, a contemporary of Peter, is saying, be holy. He wants us to be holy. And he goes on to say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. It's the same idea as what Peter is talking. Peter said the things in the reverse direction. He said, the way we think, work on your mind, and then live a holy life. Paul says the same exact thing. Be holy. And how do we do that? By not being conformed to the pattern of this world, but by being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Why? Then we will be able to test and approve what God's good will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How important is it that our minds are renewed daily? You see, I can't take fruit and leave it out and then think somebody's going to want this wonderful banana right here that looks delicious, right? It looks disgusting. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants it. Well, somebody wants the apple that I dropped 5 times, right? Because I've got butterfingers. We don't want the fruit that's going bad. But why does it go bad? Because it's not being kept fresh. In your mind, in my mind, it goes the same way. If we are not in the process of renewing our minds daily, all right? If we are not being transformed by the power of God on a daily basis, guess what happens in our minds? They slip back and they start to look like a bad banana. They start to look like the orange. And we can keep ourselves all painted looking good on the outside. But something deeper is taking place inside. And Peter is challenging us in our lives. He is challenging us, saying, watch the way you think. Why is it important to be watchful of the way you think? Because the way you think is going to determine the way that you live. And when he is working on the way that you live, he continues on with that because he wants us to know that as we go forward in this life, we need to prep for what is the long game. All right, let's jump all the way to the last slide there that has that right in there. Because Peter is warning us that we need to be prepared. We need to be ready for the long game. And why do I say that? Because you and I, we have this life. In this life that we live, we don't know how many days we have been given. We don't know how long God has given us on this green earth. But we know this. From what Peter has told us so far in chapter 1, we know that he has chosen us. We know that as a result of him choosing us, that we have a home that is heaven, that is eternal. We know that he is not done with us, all right? And as we look this morning, Peter has challenged us to say, if you want to prep for what is going on in the world that is out there, you need to start working with the way you think. And we all get that. Because we know, you know, I know, there are times when the way I think is not the way God would have me think. You know, I know, that if I avoid the people of God, if I avoid the Word of God, if I avoid spending time with God, my mind would prefer and will just as quickly follow the way of the world, and I will get trapped. I will get caught in being intoxicated with the thoughts that want to overtake my mind and do me in. There's a great example today of an individual. I am not his fan, but I'm still going to use him. And it's going to be going back to Super Bowl since we're talking about it. But Tom Brady. Tom Brady is an individual that has changed his lifestyle for this reason. He wants to play football till he's 45 years old. Changes the way he thinks, changes the way he diets, he changes the way he observes the way he sleeps, he observes every part of his life. Why? Because football is that important to him that he wants to continue to play and he wants to continue to participate at the highest level of the game. Love him, hate him, whatever your thoughts are of him, that is what his interior determination is to do. How did he do it? Well, he just got lucky, you know. I mean, that's everybody that's there. They just get, no. Through hard work, through determination, he said, I will change my thinking so that I can do this. How about you and I? We have a Savior who died on the cross to save our lives. All right? We have a Savior who died on the cross to change the world, to reach to those around us. Are we willing to change our thinking so that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we can proclaim the love and hope of Jesus Christ to those that are around us? How determined are we in our thinking, all right, in our ability to say, Lord, I love you so much, I will change the way I think so that I can follow, so that I can pursue you, so that I can reach a world in need of a Savior? Pray with me, if you would, please. Lord, as we close our time together this morning, we say thank you. Thank you that you are a good and gracious God. Thank you that you have given your Son for us. Lord, we're reminded this morning that you have chosen us, and we say thank you for that. And yet, God, I ask that you would help each one of us to work in our minds, work in the way we think on a daily basis. God, you bring us together on a Sunday morning to be refreshed, to be recharged, and hopefully to be encouraged. Lord, hopefully through singing, hopefully through the Word of God, hopefully through fellow believers and encouragers around us this morning. And Lord, I just pray that this morning we would be encouraged, but I ask that you would help us. Help us in our own weakness. Help us in our lives as we go forward this week. May we work in these areas of our lives because we know that our mind has so much control over what we do. It has so much control in how we think about other people. May we think about them, Lord, as people that are yours. And may we remember that we want to love you with all of our lives. God, I say thank you for each one here. I pray that you would bless. I pray that you would encourage them. May we know the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this week, that it is so beyond what we can even imagine, Lord. But yet, Lord, may we trust in you. May our hope continue to be in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.